Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Kyrie eleison.
Lord, have mercy.
Christe eleison.
Christ, have mercy.
Kyrie eleison.
Lord, have mercy.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of all mercy, by your power to heal and to forgive, graciously cleanse us from all sin and make us strong. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
And we can just sing, Jesus.
A reading from Joshua. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt." And so that place is called Gilgal to this day. While the Israelites were camped in Gilgal, they kept the Passover in the evening on the 14th day of the month in the plains of Jericho. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. The manna ceased on the day they ate the produce of the land, and the Israelites no longer had manna. They ate the crops of the land of Canaan that year. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray Psalm 32 responsively. Happy are they whose transgressions are forgiven, and whose sin is put away.
Happy are they.
He held my tongue, my bones withered away, because of my groaning all day long.
For your
I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my guilt.
I said, I will.
Therefore, all the faithful will make their prayers to you in time of trouble. When the great waters overflow, they shall not reach them.
You are my guiding light.
I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye.
Do not divide words from you, which have no understanding, but must be
are the tribulations of the wicked, but mercy embraces those who trust in the Lord. To the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from 2 Corinthians. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
All the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. Then, when he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed his pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far away, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked, 'What is going on?' He replied, 'Your brother has come and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has gotten him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" The Gospel of the Lord. The words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Now, in several previous accounts in Luke, Pharisees invited Jesus to their house for dinner, and he took them up on the invitation. I guess it just shows you that Jesus will eat with just about anyone. In Luke 7, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. In Luke 11, while he was speaking, a Pharisee invited him to dine with him. So he went in and took his place at the table. And again in Luke 14, on one occasion, Jesus was going to the house of the leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath. Now, in today's text, we hear this passage. All the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." Shocking, isn't it? Jesus eats with everyone. Jesus welcomes everyone. Perhaps when you think you are someone special, and after many attempts to work out everybody's calendar, you finally arrange this special guest to come to dinner in your home. It just shows how special you are. And now, come to find out, he'll eat with anybody, even those people, the tax collectors and the sinners. Are you in the same category as those people? And yuck, your home is defiled. How do you purify your home of this kind of defilement? Anyone, anyway. So Jesus told the Pharisees and scribes this parable that we've just heard. Now, we all know the parable of the prodigal son, and I think we can put ourselves in various characters, various roles. The younger son is tired of living in this rural town, doing all sorts of labor for his father. He wants to go and live it up. So he asks his father for his share of the inheritance. According to the story, there are only two sons, and he is the younger son. So when his father dies, he would customarily receive one third of the estate. The eldest son receives a double portion, since he's responsible to care for any patriarchal responsibilities. The only thing is, his father's not dead yet. By some accounts, the younger son's request is like saying, "I wish you were dead." But the father loves his son, and for whatever reason, does what his younger son desires and divides his property. The story goes on. We hear that a few days later, the younger son gathered up all he had and traveled to a distant country. In order for this to happen, the younger son probably had to convert his share of the inheritance into cash, and then he hits the road. But what was this like for the father, watching his property being sold? There are no secrets in small rural towns. The whole community knows what happened. Heck, many of them bought some of his goods at a great price because it was kind of like a fire sale. Time passes. And even with the circumstance of his son's leaving, the father misses his son. You can imagine him going to the edge of his property, looking down the road, hoping to see his son coming home. Not today. No, not today. Not today, for so many days. Then one day, off in the distance, he can't believe his eyes. There's his son coming towards him. The father is overjoyed to see his son and runs down the road to meet him. Only as he gets closer, he sees his son is in such distress, barefoot like a slave would be. His clothes are ragged, and he is thin, so very thin. In fact, it pains the father to see him this way. Quickly bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Get the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat. Let us eat and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. The joy is palpable. My youngest son is alive and has come home. My son has come home. The story could have ended right here. Happy ending, happily ever after. Are we like the prodigal son, squandering our heavenly inheritance, the love God has for us? And yet God is always ready to welcome us home. More than that, God is eager to welcome us home and embrace us as his beloved child. But the story didn't end here. Now the elder son was out still working in the field. And as he approached the house, he heard the music and dancing, and he called to one of the slaves and asked, "What's going on?" "Your brother's come home and we're celebrating." But the elder brother became angry and refused to go into the celebration. He hadn't laid his eyes on his brother in all this time, and if he never saw him again, it would be none too soon. When his brother left, the workload doubled. And on top of that, his father's been missing his brother so much. Every day, looking down the road for him, hoping for his return. How could he do that to his father? Now, his father came out and pleaded with him, "Please, please, come in and embrace your brother. Join the celebration." But he just couldn't do it. He just couldn't. So the party went on without him. Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because your brother was dead and now he's come to life. He was lost and is found." The father pleads with him, "Turn around and forgive your brother. Let go of this resentment. Join in the banquet. Come, You are always with me. The elder brother may be close in proximity to the father, but how is their relationship? The Pharisees are in the temple daily, but are they close to God? At various times in my life, I've been each of the characters in this story, as I'm sure most of us have. The child that wants to leave home and stretch her wings, wreaking havoc as I go. The one who's so happy to see someone again, even if they have mightily offended. And the one who finds it hard to forgive and join the celebration. Some of you might even identify with the fatted calf or the slave who goes out and gets the robe. I know that the elder brother category is where I struggle the most. Sometimes I'm just at a loss for the right response. Just this past year, my husband, Bill Stuthers, and I were honored by KPBS as local heroes for Disability Awareness Month. We were being honored for our work for over the past 40 years in disability rights advocacy. Our work on housing and education, transportation, even access at Petco Park. About 2 weeks before the celebration, they called and told us that the stage was not accessible. Is that all right? I was taken aback. Well, what do you think? I said, you know, KPBS is honoring us for our lifetime work on creating access. So what do you propose? Well, just work with us on this. It's too late to change venues. This means we're not going to do anything and just keep on script. The afternoon of the event, Bill and I were still trying to decide if we would attend. The access was contrary to everything we'd worked for, and it put us in a very awkward position. We did go, but I was so hurt, I really couldn't enjoy the party. And it was a party. Holding on to that unforgiving attitude not only retains the past offense, it mars the present and the future. It gets in the way of us accepting the abundant grace and love that is all around us. Now the Father says to us, as to his older brother, child, you are always with me. You are always with me. And all that is mine is yours. Come near. You are my beloved child. Come. No matter where we are or how far we've wandered, God's mercy flows to the farthest reaches to call us home. God's abundant grace is there for us, for the Pharisees and the tax collectors, for the younger and elder brother, and for you and for me. God's amazing love for us never ends. Thanks be to God.